Expressions from St. Paul is 100% listener supported. We thank you for your faithful prayers and contributions. It's because of you that we get the opportunity to share the good news gospel of Jesus Christ with the world. Greetings, friends. Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 47 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. And at 10 a.m., our morning worship service begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. Our speaker this morning is one of our very own associate ministers, Reverend Maurice Harris. And he titles his message, Christ's Slave.
A servant is somebody that serves at will. They get paid. Or they do it at will. When they get tired of serving, they can leave. But a slave ain't got no choice. You do what I tell you to do. You've been bought with a price. You owned by your owner. You owned by somebody. You can't do what you want to do. James was the Lord's half-brother. But when he wrote his letter, he never said, I'm the Lord's half-brother. But it boasted right there in verse 1, a slave of Jesus Christ. That's who James said. James said, he's not my brother, he's not my half-brother, but I'm his slave.
If you have your Bible or your mobile device, let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 7, verses 17 down through 23. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the sanctuary and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 17 through 21. Are you all going to pray? All right, let's look at this and see what the Lord has to say to us this morning. Verse 17, only as the Lord has assigned to each one, as God has called each in this manner, let him walk. And so I direct in all the churches, was any man called when he was already circumcised? He is not, but become uncircumcised. He is not to become uncircumcised. Has anyone been called in uncircumcision? He is not to be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But what matters is the keeping of the commandment of God. Each man must remain in that condition in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not worry about it, but if you are able also to become free, rather do that. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's free man. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. I want to talk about what you're thinking about this thought while I'm preaching. Christ's slave coming right out of verse 22. The subject comes right out of the text, not something that I'm making up, but something that is penned in the Bible, that's penned in the Word of God. Please keep your Bibles open, keep it in your lap, keep it close. We're going to walk through some scriptures real quickly because you need to see this. You need to see it in the Word of God. Go home and check it when I'm done and all of that good stuff. Amen. But we want to talk about Christ's slave. I want you to be thinking about that as we preach this. Very powerful passage of Scripture. Very powerful. In A.D. 34 in Jerusalem, Stephen, the first martyr, was stoned to death. In AD 44, in Judea, James the Greater was beheaded. In AD 44, in Ethiopia, Matthew was killed to death with swords. In AD 61, in Salamis, Barnabas was stoned to death. In AD 63, in Jerusalem, James the Lesser was thrown from the top of the temple, stoned, and then clubbed to death. In AD 65, in Beirut, Simon and Jude was hacked to death with swords. In AD 65, in Armenia, Bartholomew was skinned alive and then beheaded. In AD 66, in Rome, the Apostle Peter was crucified upside down. In AD 67, in Rome, the Apostle Paul was beheaded. In AD 68, in Alexandria, Mark was drugged to death in the streets. In AD 69, in Patra, Andrew was crucified. In AD 70, in Mylapore, Thomas was speared to death with swords. In AD 70, in Bakra, Jude was crucified. In AD 84, in Bethia, Luke, Dr. Luke, was crucified on an olive tree. In AD 100, the last apostle in Ephesus died of old age on the Isle of Patmos after being put in boiling oil. These great men of God helped me to teach with clarity the teaching, the message that is in this text today. These men were the elite in the Christian faith, in the Christian movement. They were the one who blazed the trail and gave their lives for you and I to be sitting here this morning and calling ourselves Christians. But my brothers and my sisters, a lot of blood was shed. A lot of blood was shed. And these men took pride. They wore the badge of being Christ's slave with joy and thanksgiving. Now you're looking at me and say, they did? Yes. In Romans chapter 1, verse 1, I would have you turn there, but you can write it down, look at it. I wanted you to see it. I got so much to cover here, and I got short time. I'm looking at the clock. It's 11:17. I need to get out of here real quick. One thing we know about Big Pop, he's punctual. And when he puts you up, he might not say nothing, but we know what that means. Get up, shut up, do what you got to do, then sit down. Don't be making no spectacle and all that kind of thing. Amen. Now, it's different when I go preach other places. I was preaching in San Jose and last month, several weeks in a row. And I just taking my time, you know, amen. Let me just do what I got to do. But I know I got on a time, I'm on a time schedule here. But in Rome, in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, we'll read Paul. Your Bible may say bond servant. I'm going to say something about it. The word bondservant is not the adequate, pure meaning of that word. The word is doulos in the Greek. And the word doulos in the Greek just simply means slave. A servant is somebody that serves at will. They get paid. Or they do it at will. When they get tired of serving, they can leave. None of these deacons are here by force. They can leave whenever they get ready. That's a servant. But a slave ain't got no choice. You do what I tell you to do. You've been bought with a price. You owned by your owner. You owned by somebody. You can't do what you want to do. Don't look at me like I'm saying something foreign, because in our history, we understand what slavery meant and how it has caused a dark cloud to be over us today, because we was owned by somebody else. So the word in its purest meaning is slave, meaning that you owned by somebody. Go on in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, not only Paul, but Timothy said he is a slave of Christ. Right. I keep going in James chapter 1, verse 1. Now, this is unique about James. James was the Lord's half-brother. Uh-huh. But when he wrote his letter, he never said, I'm the Lord's half-brother. But it boasted right there in verse 1, a slave of Jesus Christ. That's who James said. James said, he's not my brother, he's not my half-brother, but I'm his slave. How many of y'all would say you your brother's slave? A slave. Not only that, Peter, and 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, Peter, big mouth Peter, the one who nobody could control. But the Lord says right here in 2 Peter verse 1 and 1, it says, Peter, a slave of Jesus Christ. Now, go on, Jude. Jude was another of Jesus' half-brother. Never did he say in the text that he's my half-brother. And if we had that kind of connection, we probably would hook it up. You know, Jesus is my brother. Y'all better watch it. We slept together. We ate fish together. We did all these things together. I know him, but he said, I'm a slave of Jesus. Now, if that's not enough to convince us that this whole message that we're trying to preach here today, as I get it out, Jesus himself in Philippians chapter 2, he said, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who took on the form of a slave, doulos, and humbled himself and went to the death on the cross. Jesus himself was a slave to God. These men helped me. Even Jesus himself is exhibit 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 17. That's how many men I named. 17 of them that stands here today with this preacher side by side. If I land them all up, if they were to come back from the dead, they would be standing up here and say, yes! I am a slave of Jesus Christ. I'm about to get happy in here already. I got a whole lot, I got a lot more to go, and I'm just getting excited already. Help this preacher. Oh, God. All of them. Help me to teach this text. So the word doulos in the Greek means slave. Now there's five words in the Greek New Testament that is translated in the purest sense to be servant. Diakonos, I meant number one is diakonos, a deacon. That's a servant. It came from out of the Bible. That's who they are, servant, not a slave, a servant. Pais is another one. that's in the New Testament. Number two, pais, which simply means a child servant, a little child. That person is a servant. Orchates, that's a house servant. The word orchis in the Greek is house. So orchates, meaning that this person is a house servant. There was people who served in the house and whatnot. Those words are translated to mean a servant. Then the hypotetus, that word means an attendant, one who was an attendant in the place and so forth. And theropo. Theropo is the word that has to do with where we get therapeutic, that kind of thing, therapy, a person that's working with a servant that heals people. So those are the five words that are translated. But when we're talking about here, doulos, it simply means a slave. A slave. And so we're Christ's slave. Before I run into the text, let me just real quickly put this thing in perspective so that we can get the gist of what's really going on here in the text. The writer of this particular text is the Apostle Paul. We know who he is. He is the one who has given credit, amen, for really theologizing the Christian faith. We get where salvation, justification, glorification, amen, redemption, election, predestination, all of that. Paul lays this down in those 13 books that he writes. This is the one who is writing this particular text. The authenticity of this text, his authorship, is certainly supported and confirmed by the early great scholars, Clement of Rome, Polycarp, Ignatius, and even Tertullian, or the African theologian and scholar. All of them say this: he is the writer. He's the one who wrote this particular book. Now, Paul writes this book on his second missionary, he writes this book on his third missionary journey, the church that he established on his second missionary journey. And so it's Paul. He writes it. He writes it right about the half of the first century, around 55, 56 A.D. Here's the scene when he wrote this text. This is very critical for us to get this. Going to help me preach this morning so we can understand and learn the Bible. Somebody sleep to you. Nonch them. Just hit them one time so they can wake up, so they can really get the gist of this message. I'm going to be out the way in just a moment. I've been up here talking too long and really too fast. Hey, man, seems like I'm going 100 miles a minute because there's so much here that we're trying to get out. Amen. Amen, amen. But here's the scene right now. When this particular book was written, there was the man who was in charge at this particular time, who was in rule, was Nero, the Emperor Nero. And it's interesting for us to get this kind of information because we can go back and check the Bible, line it up with history. If you go back to history, you'll see during that time in 54 A.D., Nero took office. He took rule. Little boy, he was a ruthless guy. He was a Tetris. He was a mean, you know what the folk put a little in. Oh, my God, he was somebody. He was awful, mean guy, just a brutal guy. Just to give you a little glimpse of that, he's responsible for killing two of the main and most powerful men in Christendom to this day, Apostle Peter and Apostle Paul. He did. Nero did that. He is an awful man. He would take Christians. He hated Christians. Hated Christians. He put Christians throw them to lions and let them folk just tear them to pieces and whatnot. He was so awful that when he had his garden parties, he would just put Christian corpse up for his light, burning them. He'd have them burning all over his garden party, just on display. Just a ruthless guy. Horrible, horrible, horrible man. And so he's in rule at this time. At this time, in Corinth, it was a very moral depravity place. It was filthy. It was degraded with all kinds of sin, and it just laid with it. The big temple there was the temple of Aphrodite. Aphrodite, the god of love. And so that on that particular temple, there was 1,000 prostitutes. Who was religious prostitutes who came down at night, amen, and came down at night and made themselves available to the men of the city who came through, foreigners and all. It's a very polluted and degraded place, alike like where we are today.
Right. Yes, sir.
Where we are today, the culture was choking Christianity out of the people of God. That's why Paul was writing, because he had to, Paul would be writing and say, why did folk be with you? Why did they cause you to go back? What's wrong with you? Why are you doing all of this? Paul writing to tell the folks, why are you doing this? Why you want to have sex with your brother, with your father's wife? Incest was on the rise. It was a filthy place. And Paul is writing, and Paul write this letter. Let me hurry on, I'm taking too long. He wrote this letter to correct their behavior. And listen, not only to correct their behavior, but he writes this to say to the strong Christians, the faithful Christians, break off your fellowship with those who are not morally right and straight and doing what God would have them to do. And not only break it, but put them out the church. That's verse. Look at it for yourself. That's verse. Chapter 5, verse 13. Look at it. He tell them, throw them out. Christian Pope, here it is today in this culture. The church is becoming more like the world. We're choking out Christians, choking the life out of Christians. And Paul writes this letter and he says to them, do something about this. Do something about it. So here we are. That's the scene. Here we are. And I just want to talk about real quickly. I ain't got to say too much. I'm going to just say a few little things and take my seat and sit down. That's the scene. That's where we are. That's where we are today. And I need the real Christians to help this preacher preach. If you don't help me, that means you guilty. Oh, yeah, I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you. First thing, or the first clue that I want you to see in this text as it relates to Christ's slave, yes, is that who is he talking to? Now, let me say this real quickly. I might get in trouble because some people got different beliefs and whatnot, but the Bible speaks. I just preach the Bible, that's all. I learned to stop trying to impress people. You know, trying to make people like me. They ain't going to like me no way. They didn't like Paul. They killed him. They didn't like Peter. They killed him. I just told you, they didn't like but Barnabas. They killed him. They didn't even like John. John was a lovable fella. But at least they let him live long after they threw him in the ball and all. You know, just they still didn't like him. But the first clue I want to see, who was he talking to in this particular text? It's loaded right here. And those 8 verses that I just read to you, he mentioned the word call 8 times. The 7 verses, 8 times. He mentioned the word call 8 times. Oh, I was getting in trouble. I need to say this. The church is for God's people. Lord Jesus. The church ain't for dying saints. Dying sinners? Oh, everybody looking at me, what he talking about? He writes to the church. The Bible is for, the church is for believers. When he writes, he describes who he's talking to. Now listen, believers need to get their act together. See, if we get it right in here, then those out there are coming in here. But as long as we're not right in here, they not coming here. We got to get right here. So the Bible is for us first. He writing to Christians. I had to learn that the hard way. Now we preaching, why ain't nobody walking down the aisle? Because somebody ain't living right. Something ain't going right. Somebody ain't doing their part. If we doing our part, they coming. They're coming. The church is for Christians. We come here to get strong. We come here to get what we need so we can go out there. And then just let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify him who is in heaven. And then they coming. That's the Bible. Y'all don't believe me. The first thing he says, the first clue in the text is that he mentioned the word call 8 times. Anytime you read in the New Testament and you come across the word call, calling, it is referring to the Christian salvation. It's referring to people who are born again. Every time you read it in the New Testament, it's referring to the child of God. It's referring to the Christians. When Paul writes these letters, he says to the call, to the saints, to the holy. That sounds like Christians to me. That sounds like the church. And that's what we need to get it right. So he's talking to the call. Now, I got to do this real quickly. If you would just turn to Luke chapter 14. What does it take to be the call? This speaks for itself. I don't have to do it real quickly. I'm looking at my clock. The clock is ticking and focusing. Will this preacher please get out the way? I'm going to be gone. You won't have to see me for a little while. Amen. My God, my God. Listen, verse 25, he says, the Lord's crowd was going along with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father, his mother, his wife, his children, and brother and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. That's number one. If you don't hate folk more than you do, you love the Lord, then you cannot be his disciple. What does it take to be the child of God? We got to stop just this easy beliefism and whatnot. We got to tell it like it is. Let me go on, because the Lord is saying it right here. He describes it himself. I ain't got to do it. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. That's number two. If you're not willing to die, you got to die. You got to get out the way. You got to die. That's what he says right here. For verse 28, for which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost and see if we have enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he is laying down the foundation and is not able to finish, and who observed it began to ridicule him, saying this man began to build and was not able to finish. That's the first illustration. Jesus is a great teacher, great illustrator. He's teaching us, showing us what we need to do. Then it goes on, and what king, verse 31, and what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether it is strong enough, whether 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Verse 32, or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. This is it. So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. What does it take to be the child of God? We got to give it all up. You mean all revenue? All! The minimum requirement to be a child of God is that you got to give all when you come bankrupt. I come with him by battle. I give everything to him. I surrender all. We sing that song. I surrender all. Y'all awful quiet now. Somebody looking guilty in here. Oh, you got to give it all up. That's why the church is not productive in the 21st century in North America, is because we feel like we can just come halfway. We come halfway. We done reduced ourselves to coming to church once or twice a Sunday. How can you do that when you done gave up all? Every time the church doors open, I ought to be here because I've given all. Ain't nobody gonna help me to preach, but the Bible speaks for itself. I ain't got to interpret it. I ain't got to explain it. It's clear. You read it just like I read it. He means give up all. Jesus even said, why wouldn't you tell people that's what it takes? Why wouldn't you count up the cost? Why would you hoodwink people? Why would you tell them, well, you can come and then we'll let you, you know, we'll let you get it together. You can still keep cussing. You can keep lying. You can keep doing all of that. You can keep doing it. You can come when you feel like it. Yeah. You can give a little change when you want to. No, give it all. I wish I had some real people in here. I wish I had some real Christians in here that will stand up and help this man of God preach the word of God. It takes all. Everything. I don't sit there and contemplate whether or not I'm going to read my Bible, whether or not I'm going to treat people right, whether or not I'm going to love folk, whether or not I'm going to give my money, whether or not I'm going to do what God has called me to do. I give it all. I ain't got no more to give. I'm giving it all. I'm giving it all I've got. I told you when I came, when Mama Williams came to me, I had gasoline drawers on my way to hell with a blunt in my mouth. I threw the blunt out, took them gasoline drawers off, and I came walking in here with the Lord in my heart, joy bells ringing, and I'm giving it all. It takes all. And if we tell folk anything different than this, we a lie and the truth ain't in us. Did you hear what I said? I said we tell a lie and the truth ain't in us. You said, preacher, why are you hollering so? Because I need to be hollering. We holler about everything else. Yeah, you do. We holler about everything else. Why can't we holler about God and what it takes? I just quoted all those men of God who given their life, they given all. My brothers and sisters at St. Paul churches, it takes all. And if you ain't giving all, you ought to fall on your knees and say, Lord, I repent before you. I'm giving all. I'm giving all. This easy beliefism that we didn't allow to creep in the church. Now the church, like Paul, has to write here and tell folk, what are you doing? It wasn't the faithful Christians acting the fool. It was the people that we allowed to come in with easy beliefism, and they took over the church. You're going to let worldly folk come in here and dictate to the church what the church supposed to be doing for God? Yes, sir. We in that culture. Right. We in that culture. Right. They come in here, and you letting them come in because they say, I believe in Jesus. I love him. He's a good God. And put their name on the roll, give them all the keys and everything else. And next thing you know, they done brung all their cousins and uncles and whatnot, and they done took over the church, and we all in here going to hell because we let them take over. It takes all! And when a child of God is giving his all, the child of God is on his or her post. We on our post. We looking. We walking. We watching. Yes, we looking, and we praying. Somebody ought to help this preacher. We praying and looking. It takes all. I'm hollering too loud. And I'm taking too long. It's taking too all. The Big Papa shouldn't have to work as hard as he got to work. If we've given all, he shouldn't have to say something about evangelism. We all ought to be bringing folk in here. We all ought to have a crowd following us when we come to church on Sunday morning because we've given all. We've given all. I know what you got. I know what you got. I've given all. Let me hurry on. Y'all say, let this preacher hurry up, get out the way I am. The next clue. I want you to see in here, when it comes to Christ's slave, he has one focus. He has one aim. It ain't to be on no committee. It ain't to be here. It ain't to do that. It ain't to shine. It ain't to, it ain't none of that. We have one focus. Look what it says right there in verse 19. You see it there? Let me hurry on. In verse 19, he says that circumcision don't mean nothing. Y'all see it? But what matters is for us to keep the commandments of God. That's the number one focus of the child of God. When the child of God has given all, the only focus that he or she has is to keep the Lord's commandments, is to be obedient. If we got to beg you to be obedient, I'm making some folk mad in here because they say, well, leave me alone. He ain't through with me yet. Stop that line. I'm serious. If you got enough sense to say he ain't done with me yet and you know what you're doing is wrong, stop it. You like a retarded child. I say this and I say it, I ain't got time to dig with it and dig it out. I don't. Time ain't gonna permit me. Sanctification is automatic. Oh God, did he say that? Sanctification is automatic. When you've given all, it's take root. Let me give you an illustration real quickly. If you had a baby and it was born, ain't nobody in here. Grab the baby and put it down on the floor and start put the feet in front of them. No, it's automatic. The baby starts walking when he get ready. It's a natural growth that begin to take place. If the baby is 10 years old and can't walk, somebody ought to help me here. If he's 10 years old and can't walk, something ticked off in our mind. I'm going to take this baby, go have this baby looked at.
Right.
It's not walking at the age of 10. But when that baby get 9 months, it starts standing up. Somebody, a little wobbly, whatnot. Sanctification is starting to take place. That's just an illustration. When you've given all, there's some things just fly off of you. It just fly off of you. I ain't got to be told it. I ain't got to be told. It just fly off of you because you give it all. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Automatic. Now I know somebody looking at me. I understand the Bible. I know what the teaching is. Yeah, sanctification is a process. We're going to be going through sanctification until we die. But there's things that's automatic. This fall off of us when we've given all. So number one is us to seek God. We have one focus, and that is to please the Master. My time is getting away from me. I got to be done here in a few minutes. I got to. I was going to have you turn over there to 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, but I can't do it now. My time has got away. Let me just quote it for you. He says that our prayers are answered because we keep his commandments and we are pleasing the Lord. Amen. That's our focus as Christ's slave. I have no choice in the matter. I do what he says. Amen. I do what he, it ain't up for question. When we read the Bible and we read it and it says do this, it ain't up for you to debate it. It's for you to obey it and do it. We got weak churches because we're trying to pamper people. Leave them alone. Why are you hollering, Reverend? Because I mean it. Leave them alone. Focus on the one who's real. And watch what happened. God will do a great work. We can't save nobody. We can't make nobody. All we do is preach it and put it out there. And if God has taken root, they're going to follow suit. They're going to follow suit. I got to hurry on. God, I got to hurry on. Boy, preaching takes so long sometimes. My God. It does. I told my wife, I said, you know, oh, Lord Jesus, it's God. That's why, I mean, you appreciate Big Papa. He's been doing this 50-something, how long? 60 years preaching. How long you been preaching? 50-something years. He's been doing it 50-something years. That's a long time. And it takes a lot out of you. But the third clue I want you to see real quickly is how, why. I mean, we looked at how, means the why, the what. But why am I Christ-like? Right in the middle of verse 22, you'll see it right there. What he says, we are Christ's slave. We belong to him. He said it. He owns us. That's why. It's just that simple. I ain't got time to pull it out, to go grab this and grab that. It's plain and simple because he said it. Because he deemed it to be so. Again, I wanted to have you turn there, but the time has gotten away from me. Luke 46, he says, how can you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? And then over there in Matthew chapter 7, around verse 21, I wanted you to look at that too, but my time has gotten away from me. I got to move to a close real quickly here. But he said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, I prophesied in your name. That's church people. I didn't say Christians. I said church people. There's a difference between church people and Christians. I prophesied in your name. We done great and mighty works. We healed in your name. But then he'll say, depart from me because I never knew you. His own master-slave relationship is throughout the Bible between Christ and his people. You cannot serve two masters. For either you would hate the one and love the other. That's slave and master's talk. Master. He's our master. He's our Lord. The word Lord in the Greek is kyrios, meaning ruler. He's in charge because he said it. We call him Lord. We bow at his feet. He's not questioning. He's not asking us. He's telling us. And we move accordingly. The church in North America is in a bad state because the culture is choking us out. And they are filtering the church with people who don't know the Lord. They in the choir, they're musicians, they on the earth, they everywhere. They're infiltrated, and then they bringing in all of this damnable teaching that does not agree with the scripture. We got to come back and tell them, it takes all. If you ain't giving all, it takes one focus, and that is to please the Lord. We ought to not be argumentative. Somebody ought to help me. We ought to not be argumentative, but we ought to be submissive. We ought to be walking according to what the Lord. We are not here to serve Big Papa. We're here to serve the Lord because the Lord said do it. That's why we do it. Not because anybody else says it. It's because he said it. He's our Lord. And I got to go and take my seat because the time done got away. Amen. Well, the last clue, and I'm done. He says, in verse 23, you're bought with a price. Lord, hold me here. Just for a little while. You're bought with a price. the Lord paid for you. He gave everything that he had for you. If you're a believer, if you are a child of God, he purchased you with his blood. Not with gold and silver, but with blood. I began this message by saying to you that it took a lot of blood. And blood is shed every day in the name of the Lord Jesus in the global south. We're not in touch with that in China, Africa, South America. Blood is shed every day for folk to stand and go to church every Sunday to hear the word preach. And we have this privilege and we just take it so lightly, so lackadaisy. But we've been bought with a price. I got to take my seat. We've been bought with a price. He owned us. And those of us who love the Lord, we understand that we've been bought with a price. We understand that we don't own ourselves. We understand that we answer to a higher calling. We understand that if it wasn't for him, we certainly wouldn't be here. We understand if it wasn't for him, we couldn't raise our hand. We understand that if it wasn't for him, our house would have burned up. But he bought us with a price. And he prayed it his all. He gave his all for you and I to be a part of the royal family. He bought us. He owns us. And I don't care what nobody say. We have to rise to that level. We are Christ-like. Amen. He bought us with a price.
Yes, sir.
I bought some shoes the other day. They my shoes. I paid my money for them shoes. And you can't tell me what to do. With my, somebody over here, thank you. You can't tell me to do with my shoes. Now, somebody looking at me, y'all homeowners, I know you took your little change and bought your house. Now, that's your house. Now, let somebody come in and tell you to get out. No, that's your house. You bought that house. You worked hard. And some of us, we gave all we had to buy that little piece of house. And let somebody come in and tell you that it's my house now. Oh, somebody ought to help me. If somebody come and tell you to get out, you'll look at them and tell them, I bought this house. And that's what the Lord said to us. That's my child. I bought you. Let somebody come in and tell me what I can do with my. That's my child. I bought you. You belong to me. You've been bought with a price. I'm owned by the Lord now. I know they're not shouting words, but they're shouting words for me. Yes, they're shouting me, but we got to go. We got to go. My beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, please take the word of God seriously this morning. Evaluate where you are. Please, my brother, my sister. We're living in a world that's trying to choke out our Christian faith. Stand up. Show up. to learn. Don't question. Should I go? I'm going. I've been bought with a price. The blood of Jesus has been shed, and he owned me. I love this scripture, and I'm sitting down. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Forsake not the assembly of ourselves, together with one another.